think I've got to say something about my dad on a special day like today. My dad, like a lot of your dads, was the best dad ever. Until I met Joe, he was the closest thing in my life. After I met Joe, he was still an integral part of everything that I tried to do and everything that I tried to do in my life. When I was at home, my dad didn't exhibit religious strengths. He didn't pray. He didn't go to church. Even though he had been brought up in a Methodist church by a strong mother that gave him those skills and gave him those times with faith. But he didn't pray. We milked cows, and Dad actually had a job in town, a place of business he owned. He opened at 7:30 and closed at 5, and he and I did all the work. But my dad never allowed me to miss Sunday school, never allowed me to miss church or Wednesday night youth. But he didn't go. He expected when we sat down to the table that one of us children would pray. He didn't pray. He expected one of us to. And when we went to bed at night, he'd be the one there rubbing my foot, listening to my prayers. And he would be the one waking me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, rubbing my foot, saying it's time to go to work. He provided all the necessities of my life and had to have a degree in psychology, although all the records show is he had a fifth grade education. But he knew all the right answers. He knew how to help me when I made mistakes. He knew how to help me when I was achieving well, but making sure that I recognized it was because of others. He taught me that being fair with others, everybody is a person. You treat every color, you treat every background, no matter where they grew up. In fact, my dad treated those that struggled better than those that could do better. We had a tradition that we met on Thanksgiving with our whole family, and it was expected that our whole family be there. And it was tradition that I prayed. Sometimes my younger brother of 5 years would pray, but that was the tradition. My mom and dad were both good cooks, so we had great meals. But it was a breakfast on Christmas Day morning, after Joe and I were married and had our children. We were there, and I was getting prepared to pray, and my mother came over to me and said, "I think your dad wants to say something." I said, "Okay." So I said something to Dad. I said, "You got something you want to say?" He said, "Yes. Would you all bow your heads?" He prayed the most beautiful prayer, the most complete prayer that I'd ever heard in my life. In that prayer, he prayed for each one of his children and their families. He said, "I've been praying for you ever since you got here. You may not have known that, but I've been praying for you." So my dad, I didn't think was a praying person, but I found out not too late in life that he was all the things that I thought a dad ought to be, including he was a praying dad. I love him because of that. And you know, this song talks about people praying for us. We don't always know who that person is that's praying. You might think this person or this person, but there's usually a whole lot of other people that are praying when you have times of need, especially. This song talks and gives real feeling to what prayers for others can do. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Angels are watching. I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. The many miles ahead till I get home, still I'm safely kept within your throne. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Angels are watching over me. Well, I've walked through barren wilderness when my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest caverns where no light had ever shone. Still I went on, 'cause there was someone who was down on their knees. And Lord, I want to thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying
Thank you, Esten. I think we all need to be reminded of that from time to time. Thank you very much. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Yeah. Hold on. Now, y'all see what's in here? What is today? Father's Day, that's right. So, we've got these little packages of cookies. I'm sure we won't have any empty packages laying on the ground after service is over. So this is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask all of the fathers who are here and present today to please stand where you are. And I'm going to ask you guys if you'll take some of these and go hand them to the dads that are standing. Okay, hold on. All right, stand up. Come on. There you go. And then once you get your cookies, please be seated so we know who all has received. I'm going to get all the extra ones. Let's just be clear about this right now. But all right, so you guys take these and go hand them out. Okay, thank you. Okay, this one's mine. All right, go ahead. Okay, go hand them out. Yeah, go, Joel. No, sir. Go take them to the men that are standing. All right. Go get lots. Is that everyone? Man, I get a lot more extras than I thought I was going to get. All right. Thank you all very much. Oh, thank you. All right. So, we're going to pray, and then all the little kids can go to Children's Church. All of the bigger kids need to stay here, okay? So, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our fathers. We thank you for all that they do for us and for the opportunity we have today to recognize them as well. We pray that you be with all of us. Help us to have fun in Children's Church, and thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for these children, for what they teach us every day, and for what we have the opportunity to teach them. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. As is one of my favorite traditions, we did this just last month on Mother's Day. Today we're going to have three men come and to share what being a father has taught them about God or how it's brought them closer to God. So I'll ask you to be in prayer this morning for Todd Mansfield, Bruce Both, and Alan Franks as they come to share with us. Before they come to share this morning, I want us to hear these words from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 34 to chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah. Samuel never saw Saul again before he died, but he grieved over Saul. However, the Lord regretted making Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long are you going to grieve over Saul? I have rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and get going. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem because I have found my next king among his sons." "How can I do that?" Samuel asked. "When Saul hears of it, he'll kill me." "Take a heifer with you," the Lord replied, "and say, 'I have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will make clear to you what you should do. You will anoint for me the person I point out to you." Samuel did what the Lord instructed. When he came to Bethlehem, the city elders came to meet him. They were shaking with fear. "Do you come in peace?" they asked. "Yes," Samuel answered. "I've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Now make yourselves holy, then come with me to the sacrifice." Samuel made Jesse and his sons holy and invited them to the sacrifice as well. When they arrived, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "That must be the Lord's anointed right in front." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Have no regard for his appearance or stature, because I haven't selected him. God doesn't look at things like humans do. Humans see only what is visible to the eye, but the Lord sees into the heart." Next, Jesse called for Abinadab, who presented himself to Samuel, but he said, "The Lord hasn't chosen this one either." So Jesse presented Shammah, but Samuel said, "No, the Lord hasn't chosen this one." Jesse presented seven of his sons to Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord hasn't picked any of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Is this all of your boys?" "There is still the youngest one," Jesse answered, "but he's out keeping the sheep. Send for him," Samuel told Jesse, "because we can't proceed until he gets here." So Jesse sent and brought him in. He was reddish brown, had beautiful eyes, and was good looking. Sounds like a pretty fair description of several of us this morning. Sorry, that's not in there. That was a parenthetical of my own. The Lord said, "That's the one. Go anoint him." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him right there in front of his brothers. The Lord's spirit came over David from that point forward. Then Samuel left and went to Ramah. This is the word of, most of this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day, for all that you have done for us, for all that you give to us. We thank you for your abundant blessings, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear testimony this morning of your good news and your good work. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. This time I'll ask Todd to come forward. There he is, all right.
If you enjoy watching a grown man cry, you're in for a treat. I got one right here. Got one right here. Behind me, in front of you, it's a photo of three men that have influenced me, shaped me, and helped make me the person I am today. On your left is my grandfather, Earl Mansfield, also known as Papaw. In the middle is a familiar face, my father-in-law, Tommy Hampton. And on the right is my dad, David Mansfield. I can only imagine what they were talking about. These men were quite different, but alike in so many ways. Papa Earl loved God, his family, farming, and gospel music. Papa Earl loved to sing. I credit him with my love of music, especially gospel music from years ago, like the Statesman Quartet and the Happy Goodmans and the Rambos, and I could go on and on. Papa passed away in 2002. I was 33 years old. At that time, I'd never witnessed a harsh word or anger from him. Never, ever. And I can't, you know, it's just hard to believe, really. I asked him one day if he'd ever been angry, and he just laughed and said, "David probably had made him angry a few times." But Papa had the heart of God, loving all unconditionally, not without advice for a better life. He truly wanted what was best for all, especially his family. With his love, he never compromised the teachings of the Bible. I remember once, or several times, Mr. Aaron McPherson used to drive a school bus in the Clifty area. He would let me hitch a ride from the house to the shop most afternoons. That probably wouldn't happen today, but that was a long time ago. One day he told me, he said, "Todd, Earl Mansell will never be dead." He said, "Earl Mansell will never be dead as long as you're alive." It's probably the best compliment I've ever received. Papa, you are truly missed. Tommy Hampton, he loved God, his family, farming, UK basketball, and playing golf. When Hannah and I were dating, I remember telling Hannah once that I didn't believe her dad liked me. She asked why and said, I said, "Well, it's been 2 years. I don't think he's ever spoke to me." I may be exaggerating, but Hannah responded with, "You're crazy," or something like that. I later learned Tommy wasn't the talker that I was used to with my dad. Tommy did like me, maybe not because he wanted to, but because Hannah wanted him to. What's the saying? If you can't beat them, join them, right? I think Tommy may have subscribed to that. Regardless, over 30 years, I really got to know Tommy. And I could not have asked for a better father-in-law. To watch him with Linda and his children and his grandchildren, it was truly a sign of God in him. Tommy, you are truly missed. My dad, David Mansfield, loved God, his family, farming late in life, Billy, not early in life, late in life, UK, basketball, and buying and selling cars. If you knew my dad, he was always upbeat, talking, wheeling and dealing. I have so many funny stories I'd love to tell, but I don't have enough time. I will tell one on me. I was in my late teens running around Elkton one Friday night. Some friends and I decided that it would be a good idea to take a power real estate sign and place it in someone else's yard that wasn't selling their house. We picked up the sign, and we had another great idea of transferring the sign from one vehicle to another on the square. This was brilliant, brilliant. Well, it just so happened David Power was coming around the square, and he confronted us and told us to take the sign back to wherever we had picked it up. So what did we do? Another great idea. We found the nearest field, and we just tossed it. The next morning, I walked into the shop to help my dad work on a car, and his first words to me were, "Well, I hear you're in the real estate business." Needless to say, I was surprised. Dad said, without raising his voice, "Find the sign and personally deliver it to Mr. Buddy and apologize." That afternoon, after work, I had to work first. After work, I delivered the sign to Mr. Buddy. Mr. Buddy just laughed and said thank you, and I left the real estate business for good. Dad was a great father to me and my sibling. He was always so proud of our accomplishments and never abandoned us during our failures. Dad loved Mom and us kids, especially the grandkids. Dad suffered from Alzheimer's and never really knew the great grandkids. But had he would have loved them so. I always said my dad would be selling a car the day he died. With all of his heart issues, we just never dreamed Alzheimer's would be the culprit. I'm thankful that up until a few weeks before his death, that he would still randomly call my name. Dad, you're truly missed. I'd like to read Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commandments that I have given you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands, wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates." Christian, if you'll go to the next photo. There we go. The next photo is for my children, Allison, Abby, and Aaron. It's funny how the birth of a child changes a self-centered man into a child-centered man. I love to say that Allison's my favorite oldest child, and Abby's my favorite youngest daughter, and Aaron's my favorite son. I love to pick at them about that. But there's no words that can describe the love I have for these three and their mother. I hope that I have instilled in my children the love of God, to love God with all their heart, soul, and strength, and that one day my children will say that I love God and family when they speak of me. It is my prayer that I will be the example to my children that Papa, Tommy, and Dad were to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. At this time, I'd like to ask Bruce to come forward. I'm sorry, I saw Kleenexes here yesterday. I don't know where they went. Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at that. Well, there's a box. There you go. All right. Absolutely.
All right. So I've been struggling with this one for a while. Next time, if you would just ask me morning of, that would be awesome. He asked a long time ago, and I should not have that much time to prepare and think and wonder about it. So let me say this. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And that's 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13. So I worked on something, and then now I'm going to go a completely different direction just because Alan Franks is going to follow me. So my father-in-law, Butch, was a wonderful, wonderful man. And I grew up in a Christian home, but like Esten, my father was not a praying man. In fact, I can't think of ever hearing him pray. Butch couldn't walk 5 feet without praying. And he made sure that it was thoughtful prayers, not for himself, but for any of his kids, including me. So Butch did several things in his life. He sold insurance. He was a veteran. And he was a mailman. And that's when I met him. He was a mailman and a farmer. And I was not a farmer. I grew up in the city and did not know anything about farming, except that when I was in high school, I made fun of farmers. I only wish I had paid attention a little bit more to what they did. Well, when I met Laura, Butch was in the pig farming business. And they had a long hog house and lots of pigs. And I was very grateful by the time that we had gotten married that we were out of the pig business, because I did not want anything to do with the pig business. And Dad did not have a whole lot of equipment. Most of what he had was secondhand equipment, and he was very, very proud the day that he could afford his first brand new tractor with a loader on it. And he assured me it was okay if I drove it. And one day he came home from the mail route, and I had been driving his brand new tractor. And I was dumping something off into the old pig pond. Now, I don't care how long the pig pond has not been in use. Once it's a pig pond, it's a pig pond. Can you confirm that, Mr. Franks? Yes, nothing good ever comes out of the pig pond. So as I was dumping things into the pig pond with Butch's brand new tractor, the bank on the pig pond gave way. And by the time I finally got Butch's brand new tractor out of the pig pond, there was algae on the hood. There was algae on me. And when Butch got home from the mail route, I was in his driveway, hosing off the algae off his brand new tractor that was covered in pig stuff. He looked at me and he looked at his tractor and he walked in the house. And he never said a word about it. Not once. To me, that was his way of saying, I'm more important to him than that tractor ever would be. And that I would mess up. And that my kids would mess up. And it was okay. Because God would never provide me with a challenge that he would not also provide me the wisdom to conquer it. So I got into fatherhood. Fall of 97, Laura and I got a dog, Uncle Sam. And Uncle Sam was a great dog. He loved us. And he loved anything we bought in bulk. He ate more bulk packs of 35 millimeter film. He loved those super duper size bags of blow pops that we would get for our kids at school. And he would unwrap them all and chew them up and leave them ground into the carpet. And that was my first experience with what, you know, your kid couldn't do to you. But this was just our dog. Well, then Bailey came along, and things were perfect. Bailey was a perfect little baby. And shortly after that, Brett came along, and he, like his older brother, was perfect. And then a few years later, things changed a little. Life became what happened between occupational therapy appointments and speech therapy and ABA and gluten casein diets and anything else we could try. But God was faithful. And Bailey went through a phase. And that phase would pass. And then he would go through another phase, and that phase too would pass. And then he went through the door phase. And I don't know if many of you remember the door phase, but when Monsters, Inc. came out and the door shredder became a thing, Bailey liked to shred doors. And it didn't matter if it was my door or a door in a hotel. It would be fine, and all of a sudden, there would be little door pieces everywhere, as high as he could reach. I have some pictures of door frames, of doors that were just up. Well, there was a door here, but there was just no door, just hinges. And we would try to teach him, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. And he eventually grew out of that. Thanks for growing out of that, Bay. I know we bought at least four doors, and he started having to buy the doors. So as one phase would go into another, everything would get better. And now my boys have entered into adulthood. And this verse has taken on a new meaning for me. Now it's the challenge of letting them face challenges and not protecting them from everything and trusting that they're going to do the right things. As Brett has gone off to college and isn't here today, he's off starting his career. It's very reassuring that when they're in challenging times, I hear them praying. And they've gotten that from Butch, and they've gotten that from me and their mother, and they've gotten that from this family. Oh. So, as Bay is at home and I'm constantly needing more help on the farm, it's been a challenge to trust that he's going to be able to help and to do the right things. And the other day, we were working on a project, and for the first time I decided, okay, I've got to let go and trust that God's going to be with Bay and keep him safe on a tractor. And the same tractor I put in the hog pond, Bailey was driving by himself and doing a fantastic job, better than his dad. So, how God has, fatherhood has got me to believe more in God and have more faith in God. It's the experiences that I've had with being a son and being a father and trusting in God. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. At this time, we'll ask Alan Franks to come and share with us.
Bruce, forgive me for referring to your hog pond, which we call the lagoon. We irrigated out of that lagoon to recycle those nutrients back onto the next growing crop. One day I was out there servicing the intake for the irrigation system. I'd had a little float that I made out that I could drive out there. What I didn't realize was if a float isn't tied, it can also drift away. As I stepped off the intake, down I went. I went back to the house and Janie, I need you to hose me off. She came out and I remember she said, I don't know if I should hose you off or just get a new one. My parents were married in 1932, the depths of the Depression. Mother was a school teacher before they were married. Dad was a dairy farmer. And when they were first married, they lived with his folks. That didn't work. Dad built the house where my brother and I grew up. 6 rooms with a full basement. The basement was dug with a team of horses and a slip scraper. And Dad always knew that the house was level because one night after he dug the basement, it rained and water was standing in that basement. He went down there and drove a peg in each corner down to the level of the water. He said, the house is level. Dad laid the block, cut all the boards and all the two-by-fours with a handsaw, did the plumbing and the wiring, and put in a heating system with ducts and registers. The total cost of that 6-room house was about $3,600. That was the Depression. So what all does all this have to do with being a father, bringing me nearer to God? I never adequately thank my dad for all he taught me. Occasionally in my daily prayers, I thank God that I have the ability to do things with my hands. And I wonder, is the mail service in heaven good enough that my dad gets that acknowledgement? Now that I'm a father and grandfather, I pray that I can pass on some of those skills. How has being a father brought me closer to God? When our kids were growing up, they did some of the same things that my brother and I tried. Their room was not neat, neither was mine. They seldom volunteered to help around the house. I didn't either. When something went wrong or got broken, it wasn't their fault, wasn't mine either. I hope it's not too late to ask God for forgiveness for some of those shenanigans. We have 3 kids. Tim is biologically ours. Don and Marie are adopted. We never tried to keep it from them that they were adopted. We just told them, we had to take Tim, but we got to pick you. We've been asked, is there any difference in the way you feel about the ones you birthed versus the ones you adopted? Well, depending on the antics of the day, which one you would cheerfully choke. No, there's no difference in our love for them. You encourage, you pray for them, and you're there for them when they need it. Don was born with part of his leg missing, just below the knee, and we worried that that might be a handicap. We learned shortly that Don was a determined child. With an artificial leg, it was a little difficult to learn to ride a bicycle, but his big brother rode a bicycle, and he was going to ride a bicycle as well. He didn't fall off more than 100 times, but he rides. He even learned to water ski on one leg. Being determined is not always a disadvantage. Our kids occasionally fussed at each other. One night at supper, Don and Marie were fussing at each other and were getting serious, and Marie had begun to cry. And I said, "All right, you two, quit, or we'll send you back to the Indians." And through her tears, Marie says, "Different tribes." It seems that we come to a lot of situations when you're growing kids where my first response is, "Lord, how do I handle this?" Probably not a bad response. Every agricultural community has a location where farmers gather when they aren't pushed. Sometimes it's a table in a restaurant. Sometimes it's the lobby of a fertilizer plant. If the weather is such that they can't be in the field, some farmers will be there. They swap stories. How did your corn yield? What was the moisture of it? How did you like that new attachment that you put on your planter? Did the weed control that you used to kill Palmer amaranth, did it really work? Story after story, and some of them are even true. During one session, Ed was one of those around the table, and the conversation slowed, and one farmer said, "Ed, you haven't said anything. What's going on at your place?" Ed was quiet for a moment, and then he said, "A year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, serious cancer. I didn't think I'd even be here today. And during some of those treatment sessions, I had a lot of time to think. Maybe being the first to get to the field to get started planting shouldn't be at the top of my list. If I don't finish planting before y'all do, that's okay. I don't know how much time I have left," Ed said, "and neither do you. None of us have a guarantee about tomorrow. So I decided I needed to be spending my time with those I love and those who love me. If my tractor doesn't start till 8 o'clock, it means I've had a leisurely breakfast with those I love. And after my bout with cancer, the family time with the ones I love becomes pretty important. So if you get finished planting before I do, if you put the combine in the shed before I do, that's okay. My priorities are a little different now." When Ed finished, the table was totally quiet. And perhaps there's a bit of a lesson there for some of us as well. What have I learned about the love of God by being a father? I love our kids and grandkids, and sometimes love has to be tough love. But when they mess up, it does not shut off my love for them. And thankfully, that's the same way God feels about me. Even when I let him down, God still loves me. And sometimes that's tough love, too. This is what is so unique and wonderful about our Christian faith. We don't have to earn God's love. God loves us. What we do is in response to God loving us. Thank you.